a practice that I support my clients with is we actually don't look at trends. We actually don't look at analytics and we don't look at numbers because numbers mean nothing about us. And I was making multiple six figures with a following of about 300 to 400 people. And I was making seven figures with a couple thousand people. And so the numbers just don't add up to the success that I've had. And then when we go and we look at, you know, the turning point when my clients moved into an intuitive flow, like, why is it that they were extending this amount of time and energy and making this, but then we pulled that back and yet their income increased and we actually, you know, culled their following or their patience and yet they're making more money.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where we share the real deal on what it takes to be an entrepreneur, to make the leap from corporate, to replace a corporate paycheck with ease and grace and not bring in the hustle culture or being your worst boss ever. And today we have a very special guest, Megan Camille. She is a psychic and intuitive business consultant who has built her 2 7-figure and multi-6-figure businesses from scratch, relying solely on her intuition and inner guidance. And as a mother with no college education, Megan understands firsthand the challenges that come with starting a business from the ground up while raising kids. And by the way, my friend, she has 5 of them. So I think that is something worth noting. At the age of 19, Megan was sex trafficked and prostituted, an experience that taught her about the harsh darkness of life, but also about the light of opportunity with business. So compelled by this fire to never settle for mediocrity, Megan used her innate intuition and psychic abilities, which she's had from a very young age, and I'm so excited to dive into that story, to build a successful consulting business that empowers her clients to generate their 6 and 7-figure success while creating lives of sovereignty, joy, and abundance. So she embodies her own principles and is living her happily ever after life with her husband and 5 children. So welcome to Life After Corporate, Megan. I'm super excited to have you here.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I know you have no Life After Corporate story, right? So, and you've created this incredible business success on your own and you're helping others to do the same. How did you get to entrepreneurship? What was your journey of launching your very first business?
Yeah. I don't have a corporate story, but I do have a story of, you know, doing something that wasn't lighting me up, that I felt trapped within. And I've got to say, the fact that I'm just unemployable has been somewhat of like a secret gift because I didn't have that to fall back on. And I really had to find a way. And when I was married to my former husband, we had a very traditional marriage where I stayed home and I took care of the kids. And I just had that tug. I had that tug that I was being called for something in addition to motherhood. I was not fulfilled being home. And so I started my first business, and that was a 501c3 nonprofit. It was private preschool. And that grew very quickly. And my husband at the time said, this really was not what we agreed when we got married. we're not getting our home-cooked meals every night. And he did ask for me to choose. And so he's my previous husband. I think we can all tell what I chose.
We know what the choice was. Yeah.
We know what the choice was. And I had just really found a calling in following this intuition and discovering that it was creating results. And I'd been psychic my entire life. You know, I'd been giving readings since I was a little girl. I began giving readings to women in corporate and business owners at about 15. I had no idea that that was really seeding my future. And for the most part, outside of the moment of giving the reading in an environment that it was accepted, I really hated the fact that I had this intuition all the time. It really set me aside. It left me out of very normal childhood things to know what was coming and then it would happen. So it wasn't comfortable. And so when I started seeing it finally feel as though that it was benefiting me in my first business, I ran with it and I loved it. And then I repeated that same cycle of following my intuition and building a new business in a different industry 4 times. And so my bio does talk about the 2 businesses that I have landed with and I run now, but I've built 4 multiple 6 and 7 figure businesses in 3 industries. And while my intuition is what created me and created all of that, I now have some significant business success over the last decade or so.
Well, congratulations. And I'm thrilled for you. You know, I've really enjoyed just energetically the connection of getting to know you and who you are and what your mission is in the world. And you're the real deal. You're here to serve. And I mean, I gotta say, I'm a little bit jealous. Like, to have a clear vision of what's going to happen in the future feels like a distinct competitive advantage. You know, if you know what's going to happen, then you know how to respond to it and how to capitalize on it. But I think, you know, what our listeners might be wondering, and I'm wondering, is what's the difference between being psychic and listening to your intuition?
Mm-hmm. So being psychic, I would say, is just a very honed skill of intuition. We all have the skill. We all have the ability. And that's really where I come in, is that actually your intuition is as accurate and easily heard as mine. It just is a muscle that I was using. And it creates a very accurate prediction. And what it does not create, though, is the in-between. So although I can see the end result, it is the in-between that is still an internal journey. So my intuition shows me the end result and says, here is your greatest decision in this moment to get to that end result. And the difference between me and most people is I listen to it. Whereas most people go, ooh, that doesn't sound logical. That doesn't match the numbers. That doesn't go with, the statistics. So I'm going to lean on logic and not follow my intuition. And so then that intuition muscle doesn't get built. So that's really the only difference between someone who's using their intuition and someone who thinks they don't have it, is that they are probably leaning a lot on logic instead of intuition.
And it's so funny because a lot of logic comes from past experience. And when you're dealing with future potentials and future possibilities, it's like sometimes logic can't get you there because you've never been there before.
Exactly.
And so I think that's been the magic of, you know, when you get an intuitive hit, and it's almost, for me, my experience has been, if I move forward with the intuition without thinking a whole lot about it, I just like do it. It turns into magic, right? And it's magic and it's easeful. It doesn't take a long time. It doesn't, you know, it's not a struggle where so many of us struggle. And I think, you know, the social media feeds and the comparing mind and looking at what other people are doing and seeing other people have success in certain ways probably gets in the way of listening to that internal guidance, would you say?
Absolutely. I actually recommend for my clients to stop following people in their same niche and really focus on what's coming for them as opposed to what someone else is doing. Now, when you're moving from corporate, you've been leaning on logic and always really having to defend why you're making this decision or have a process to follow and describe why. Well, it's a big leap to then go, oh, let me just lean on the intuition here and not look at how other people are doing it. And so I really support my clients in discovering their own natural rhythm And this natural rhythm is nothing to do with logic or the mind, and it has nothing to do with what most people are programmed, which is the 9-to-5 programming. And so with our natural rhythm, we discover when we have downloads of inspiration, great grand ideas for our business, when we have the energy to then act on them, and then when we don't. Like when we don't have the energy, when we don't have the inspiration, is actually the time to pull back and be in a lot of self-care. The reason why I can create the income that I do in about 20 hours a week is because I'm extremely clear on my natural rhythm. And my natural rhythm is 3 to 4 hours a day, 3 or 4 days a week. Again, that would make me unemployable, you know, if I wanted to make $1 million a year in 20 hours a week. Yet, because I'm tuned into my natural rhythm, here's when I'm most potent. Here's when it's time to go in. And I leverage those flows, then I don't have to be trading time for money. And neither do my clients, really, neither does anyone. It just takes some time to learn what is your natural rhythm.
Yeah. So, how do you find that out? You know, how do you find out your natural rhythm? How do you discover that?
Yeah, well, I would say it's different between someone who is maybe working from home and already in their business, and maybe someone who's still in transition from corporate. But the quickest, easiest way is to start just logging your days for a good 2 weeks or so. Like, when do I feel inspiration? When do the aha moments come in? When do I feel creative? When do I feel internal, like I don't want to go out, like I don't want to be working? When do I feel, you know, really starting to log those moments? And for me, I have high energy in the morning. And in the afternoon, I kind of start to fizzle out. And so it's really deciding which part in those morning hours am I in creation or service? Right? Service is really outward energy. It's our masculine energy versus creativity and inspiration. And that's really the feminine energy. And really deciding where do I fit into this? What feels good to me? Another one for me was I absolutely had to have many days of no work because I love work so much. I can keep going. Until pretty soon, I feel like I'm in obligation and sacrifice. And the moment I'm in that energy of obligation or sacrifice, then I'm no longer serving my clients. It could look like I'm serving my clients, but I'm not actually serving my clients. And so having those 3 days of absolutely no work means when I do come back into work, I'm in full service. I'm extremely potent. And everyone has the ability to discover where am I potent and where am I internal.
Yeah, I think that's so important, Megan, because even last year, there were some personal challenges in my life with my partner and illness and moving and all sorts of things that disrupt the status quo. And many times I felt like, oh, we're just kind of coasting here. But, you know, when we looked at the end of the year and said, well, we coasted, but we still added 6 figures to the top line, that was pretty extraordinary. So then you know that you don't have to be in a state of struggle in your business to have growth. Growth and struggle are not synonymous. And I think that's the important part of your message here. But speaking of masculine and feminine, you know, so I have, I believe, a highly cultivated intuition, but also a highly cultivated analytical brain from, you know, decades in corporate. So what does it mean to have an intuitive business? And how is that different? Or how does that balance with the analytics of supporting, spotting trends and patterns and creating solutions that sell? You know, how do you balance both of those? Mm-hmm.
Well, someone else's trends and numbers actually don't reflect our own, because if that were true, then anybody could go implement a single strategy and create the success that the other person created. And so while I absolutely cultivate masculine energy in my business, it's where the automation comes, it's where the systems and strategies are running, it's the kid container that lets my business run even when I'm not around. That's really important. And a practice that I support my clients with is we actually don't look at trends. We actually don't look at analytics and we don't look at numbers. because numbers mean nothing about us. And I was making multiple six figures with a following of about 300 to 400 people. And I was making seven figures with a couple thousand people. And so the numbers just don't add up to the success that I've had. And then when we go and we look at, you know, the turning point when my clients moved into an intuitive flow, like, why is it that they were extending this amount of time and energy and making this, but then we pulled that back and yet their income increased. And we actually, you know, culled their following or their patience, and yet they're making more money. So it really is an outward look. If we're like, okay, outside world, tell me what to do. Tell me what's working so that I don't have to burden the possibility of getting it wrong. And I'm always willing to fail. I'm always willing to get it wrong. And so I know that the bigger view of whatever the intuition is coming through as has a long-term projection of my highest good. So when it comes to the analytics, now I still have a team. Yes, we look at open rates. Yes, we look at funnels and what's working and what's not working, but it's not what decides what happens next in business. What decides what happens next in business is the heart-centered intuition.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, what I'm thinking is, you know, trust yet verify, right? So for me, when I meant trends and analytics, which is, it's more market research. So I might have an intuitive hit that this is a good idea, you know, because I've observed and I've been listening and I was like, oh, well, I could create something new here. Let me go ask people if they would find that of value.
Oh, I love this. I love this because I really have a different take on market research. And I do minimal market research in my business, but there is still some. However, what I don't recommend doing is going out and saying, will this work? Would you be interested in this? So then I can know whether I should do it. Because we have a desire. We live in a dual reality, which is a relative truth. The ultimate truth is that we're one. But the first distortion is duality. So there's black and white, hot and cold, pain and pleasure. And so if we have desire, we must have the opportunity to fulfill it. So our desire doesn't just come to us. So this thought that you might have, this, oh, this is a great idea, has to have fulfillment. It can't not, or the idea wouldn't be there. The desire, the intuition wouldn't be there. So the fact that we have a desire to offer a service or a product means it's already in demand. It's already in demand. And so we don't have to go out and see if people would be willing to buy it. And we also don't need to go out and do market research on, like, what is this person charging so that I know what to charge, right? Especially if we want to be the exception instead of the rule, which is what I live by. I am absolutely the exception, not the rule. It's why I can make seven figures in 20 hours a week, is because I didn't go out and say, hey, what are you charging? Okay, great. That's going to take me 40 hours, right? And so it's the knowing that if there is a desire, it must have the opportunity to be fulfilled, and then willing to do what it takes to allow it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I agree. And I am also always looking for clients to articulate what they see as their next and what they want. And when you have the intuitive hit and you're spot on, and this was my experience a couple of weeks ago, what they shared was exactly what I had already put on a PowerPoint. It's like I already knew what they wanted. And the price point that they said was the exact same price point that was already on the PowerPoint. So, I mean, I like to go out there and say, I have this idea, but first I ask them, what do you think you need? And it's just a way of, I don't know, validating. But I think trust is a big piece of this. And it's almost like, I don't know if we had this conversation when we first met, but I started exercising the muscle of trust with parking places.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Just believing that, oh, well, it's high season, it's summer, it's crowded in town. You know, my partner would get in the car and say, we're going to have trouble finding parking. And I would say, well, with that attitude, we're going to have trouble finding parking. But I believe that there's a space for us right in front.
Yeah.
And inevitably, there was a space for us right in front. So I think it's a matter of, like you said, this intuition is a muscle in trusting it. Because the more you trust, the more it gets verified and the stronger the trust gets. And so suddenly you're moving from this place of intuitive guidance and allowing that to help you unfold. Tell me more about the 20 hours a week and 100K months.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, you know, lots of automation, and you've mentioned that definitely this is available to all of us, whether there are people out there right now who are making $1,000 a month, $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month. You know, how do you make that leap? How do you leverage your intuition to make the big leap from, you know, five figures to seven figures? What does that journey look like?
Yeah. First, that I would create some automation. I recommend creating some amount of automation and having some team. So where I am now has been four businesses deep and plenty of years of experience. And now I would do a lot different in those first two businesses. And what I would do different is what I support my clients in doing now, so that there isn't all the trial and error and starting over and that sort of thing. So first, it's really important to know that I don't do this all by myself. I am not a solopreneur anymore. I have a team who supports very, very, very well. And that's super important to know. So I did not go from solopreneur to a seven-figure business owner all by myself. I just didn't. I had at least an assistant. And for anyone else who has kids, I had a nanny. In the beginning, I was working 12 hours in my first business, and I had a breastfeeding baby and a toddler. And I worked on my online business. It was going to be my second business, about 1 hour a night, while I learned things like funnels, right? And so it has been a progression, and boy, do I wish I would have automated things sooner. So first and foremost, I don't do it alone. I have a husband who I now have retired, and he helps. He does dinners. He does the grocery shopping. My nanny takes care of the kids. So as I'm in my highest CEO self, I am not expecting myself to be the only primary caregiver. I'm not expecting myself to wear all of the hats in business anymore. So your first step would be expect yourself to do it all. You can have it all, but you cannot do it all. The second step would be to invest in your business. This is where I did it very, very different. I was willing to go broke. As a matter of fact, I did. I went into about $40,000 in debt. I had one point where I was sleeping on my mom's floor as a single mom with two kids, and I just kept doing business so I could get good at making money. At that point, if I got a job, I was stuck forever. And so the more you can invest in your business, the better you get at that. So those are a couple of things. Don't do it by yourself. Don't try to do it by yourself, at least at that seven-figure point. And keep investing in your business. I heard someone say, I've been investing in my business for 2 years and it hasn't paid off yet. And, you know, I'm 10 years in, I still invest in my business just in a different way. I send my team to retreats, or we do vacations as a team, but it's still an investment in the business. So learning business. Learning a very easy strategy, one platform, one way to build your audience, and do that over and over and over while creating an offer or a product, whatever that might be, that aligns with what you love to do, and shut the rest out. My intuition came through and said, this is what I want to offer, and offer that over and over and over until you are confident enough for other people to buy.
Yeah, that's so key and so important. I mean, investing in the business, you have to be willing to invest in your business, invest in your own success. I mean, most of us in life weren't groomed for entrepreneurship. I mean, if you didn't have parents who were business owners, then you didn't grow up in a household where business ownership was just the natural way to be. And so coming from corporate and really corporate culture that is so toxic to, well, many employees, but to women in particular, because it's hard. We have to work twice as hard to get recognized. We're held to a different standard, but no one really teaches you how to be an entrepreneur. I happen to be lucky that it was my job to be an intrapreneur in the company I was in. So I was actually practicing entrepreneurship and not even aware of it at the time until I actually left. But the investment in getting the support and learning the skills, like no one knows how to build a funnel when you first start a business. And that's where the investment can take you down the wrong track, because you might look at someone else's marketing. And we started the conversation with not comparing yourself to other people, but so-and-so just does this. It works for them. It might as well work for me. So I'm going to just cookie cutter, follow that leader and do the same thing. And it falls flat. And it falls flat because you weren't aligned to it. You weren't ready for it. It wasn't a strategy that your market would embrace.
Mm-hmm. It's one size fits all.
It's not one size fits all. And so, yes, I went into debt when I first started my business. I invested in a program. It was a year-long program. It was $10,000. And it really taught me how to function in this online marketing world. And without that, I would not have had as much success as I've had. So I want to bring this back to the, you have to invest in your business. You have to learn to trust your own internal guidance and not be distracted by what everyone else is doing in the marketplace. You need automation, you need team. And yes, you can have a beautiful, easeful life and business model if you're intentional about doing that. And I want to just bring us back to the intuition. Mm-hmm. Because many women coming out of corporate have a very well-exercised analytical brain because we've been spending decades in the male-dominated environment, to the masculine world of let's think our way through this, let's measure our way through this. Yes. And intuition and gut feel are not highly valued. So how do you kind of like pull back, peel back these layers and start trusting your intuition again?
Yeah. And this is actually what makes women so amazing at business, especially mothers, because we just have this innate know how to grow, right? Like we literally are built to grow life, and business is a form of life. Money is a form of life. And so it actually is extremely natural for us. And so we don't want to do away with all the logic we do, but we want to put it in that 20%. Right? Like create a nice house for us, logic, the container in which we flow. And I would say initially embrace your rebel, that you are going to do it different. Enjoy being a rebel. Allow yourself to play with the idea. And then just some basic ways to feel your intuition. So a yes feeling is, it could look different for everyone because I have, I can like taste and hear sounds and that sort of thing. So I'm going to give a wide range for how it may come through for you, whether you are like visual or you feel it in your body or you have a knowing. But a yes, this is a good decision, is typically bright. It's sunny. It feels light. You may pick up a little heart rate, like, ooh, this is exciting. This chills. It definitely reminds me of sunniness, right? And no, this isn't for you. It's going to feel a little bit heavy, not emotional, right? Emotions are not intuition. Emotions are a chemical reaction to a thought that you're having, and that is not intuition. So intuition, again, it feels like chills, or if it's a no, it feels like a sinking feeling. It's cloudy, it's heavy, it's dark. Those are some easy yes or no's. And really knowing the difference between your logic, your intuition, and your nervous system. Because if you get a yes intuitively and it goes against your logic, you will have a nervous system reaction. And so your heart will pick up. You may feel nauseous. You may go, oh, I feel anxious and I feel scared. So this must be a no. when really it wasn't, that your first inkling was, oh, yes, bright, sunny. And then my logic went, you can't do that. You have children. You shouldn't do that. That's irresponsible. That's illogical. Then I start getting nauseous. So there's a difference between the logic, the nervous system, and the intuition. And intuition is your very first knowing. So kind of like that light is yes, that heaviness, shadowy is no.
You're so psychic, because that was the question that I was going to ask you, which is, you know, how do you tell if it's just a no, or if it's resistance and fear, or the nervous system being activated, you know, kind of kicking in because it feels uncomfortable and because it's unknown? Because much of entrepreneurship is unknown. You've never been here before. You've never had these thoughts before. You've never done this work before. And so trusting the intuition and knowing that it's not a free ride, that, you know, your fight or flight is going to kick in, it's going to feel uncomfortable. So how to know how to discern. So discern whether or not it's a no. And from what I heard you say is that if the initial reaction is that bright, sunny, chills, you know, full body yes kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And that's still that. And then it comes in that, like, oh, there's this fear, or the nervous system was activated. Mm-hmm. Is that how you discern, you know, the yes with resistance versus the no?
Yeah, exactly. And when there is the nervous system that comes online, you can go, oh, thank you. My body really works. And if this was actually a deadly situation, I could spring into action. And this is where we actually want to get better at being ourselves. So nervous system regulation is extremely important. Knowing the different aspects or parts of yourself, like the inner child, the inner critic, the golden child, the shadow, all of these aspects have their own interpretation of what's going on. And so we want to be making our decisions from the intuition, which is our true self. Even if that alerts the inner critic, like, you can't do this, you don't know how to do this, or the nervous system is part of intuitive business. And it's why we spend 20% on systems and strategies. It's the quickest part of business. And the rest is nervous system regulation. It is personal development. It is emotional intelligence. It is widening your capacity to be with risk. Widening your capacity to be with failure, because the more risk and failure we can be with, the more success and abundance we can hold. But if we're not willing to hold the risk, I promise you're not willing to hold the responsibility. And if you're not willing to hold what could happen, you aren't ready to hold what does happen. It is the same reaction on our body, like excitement and fear. And when I used to live in this state of like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month. I have babies to feed and like rent to pay. What am I going to do? It was as activating to my nervous system as this is a lot of money that I need to know how to do taxes with. And I need to make sure that I know how to pay all of the people that are here supporting this life. And what happens if this stops? And right, there is still, even with a big amount of success and money, there's still the same internal game. And so if you can start playing that internal game now, you're going to be able to hold the success.
Such a brilliant, brilliant point to end on, that it's 20% systems, processes, the analytical mechanics of running a business, 80% of who you're being.
Yes.
And what are you allowing, and how are you sort of peeling back the layers of who you are and all the different aspects of the experiences and the thoughts that have brought you to this point in time. So Megan, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with our audience today. How do people find you? How do they work with you? Do you have a preferred way of people getting in touch?
You can find me at megancamille.com. Learn more about me there. And of course, I'm on the other platforms like Instagram, the Megan Camille. You can find me on Facebook, and I would love to connect and see if we're a great fit.
And that's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Camille, C-A-M-I-L-L-E, two L's and an E in Camille. And thank you so much. Really, this has been such a rewarding discussion today and a great way to spend a Thursday morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Deb.
Okay, thank you. We'll see you next time, my friends. That's it for now. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.